Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
That's better. Yes, it is an exciting day today. We're having Baptism Sunday, and Shay Jensen and Ella Clark are being baptized this morning, so that's exciting. We're just looking forward to that, doing that this morning. I wanted to just give a little message on baptism before we go and actually do the baptism. Shay is going to share her testimony also too this morning, so that's exciting. As we think about baptism this morning, actually, you know, first let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that this morning we can come into your presence. Father, it is awesome to be able to come to know you because you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross and he took away our sin. And Lord, we thank you that we can come back into that relationship with you. And Father, we thank you for this day and what it represents, stands for. All of it is just this young people, just the life change that has taken place in their life, Father. And we pray that, Lord, you will impact our hearts this morning as we come to experience this and understand it more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We talk about baptism. We say, what is it? Okay, I got an illustration here. I like to involve the kids in a service a little bit. Now, these aren't hard questions, kids. So be bold, be brave. What have I got in my hand here? Oh, there we go. Yes, that is the right answer, an apple. Okay, let's think not a computer. No, let's think a little bigger now. Think bigger. Okay, what's inside of an apple? Seeds. I heard the word seeds, yes. And so what could this apple become? Anyone? What could it... A what? A tree, that's right. This apple could become a tree. Absolutely, a little seed in here, planted in the ground, grows to be a tree. So think a little bigger now. Keep thinking bigger. sometimes there are a dozen seeds in an apple. So that's 12 trees. So what could this one apple become? What would be the name for that? Yeah, it's an apple tree, but let's think a little bigger. A bunch of apple trees, right on, yeah. Correct answer. What's the name for that, a bunch of apple trees? I heard orchard, yes, there we go. Yep, an orchard. So an apple can become, that one apple can grow into an orchard if you get a bunch of apples together. Huge orchard. How many of you have walked through an orchard of fruit trees? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It is absolutely beautiful to see the trees hanging with fruit. It's unbelievable. So great experience. But so as we think about that, the apple seed in here has to die. And when it dies, it has to be planted in the ground. But when it grows, it is much different. It becomes a new life. And today, as we come to baptism, it's a representation of that. We have to do the same. We have to die to ourselves, wanting to have our own way. And by the way, that's sin. When we want to live independently of God, that's called sin. So God can give us new life in him. We need to die like an apple seed. Go into the ground, and God brings us forth into a new life. And that's what John 3:3 talks about that. I'm going to read that passage this morning. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, I assure you, in John 3:5, Jesus said to Nicodemus, he was a religious leader of the day, and he came to Jesus by night asking him questions about who he was and how he could, what Jesus was all about. And Jesus, right away, he said, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. And that's what happens when we die to our lives, independent, living independently of God. We die, and God miraculously gives us new life when we come rise up again. And Jesus said, the wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. It's an act of God. It's a miracle. God gives us new life to live. So it's a wonderful picture this morning as we look at baptism, what a picture it gives us of what's taken place in the lives of these two young ladies that will be baptized this morning. I wanted to read, just share this passage with you, talking about the seeds, John 12, 24 to 26. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. In other words, Jesus is saying, it comes to nothing. And that's a picture of us living without Christ. Unless we see that and die, we really, life ends up being empty. It comes to nothing. But its death will produce many new kernels. Now, Jesus used a wheat, kernels of wheat, but the apple's the same. When the seed dies, it produces many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. It bears much fruit and many new lives. That's what happens to us. So we die and we come back to life again under God's power. And we can bear many new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. What we do with our lives in this world makes all the difference for eternity. And will we spend our lives serving the Lord, or will we spend our lives serving ourselves? So that's a question this morning, and for us today. The challenge for us today as we take a look at these passages, what are we going to do with our lives? Serving the Lord ends with a wonderful hope and a future forever. But a life lived only for ourselves ends empty. And that's so true. I have spent time with people that are born again Christians, and they come to the end of life, and they have hope and a future. And I've spent time with people who have not been born again, who do not have Christ, and they have no hope and no future. I've seen that. So that's this morning as we think about this new life. It's a challenge to us. So in baptism, it is a sign. Publicly. That's when people come and they be baptized and they publicly say, this has happened in my life. I've died to myself and Christ has risen me up to new life. When you go down in the water, we die. When we come up, we're risen to new life. So then when we go under the water, that's symbolic of our dying to ourselves, to our independence from God. That's sin, independence from God. and we surrender and we come back to life again, and Jesus gives us new life. So how do we show others that we have let go of our old life to follow Jesus? We get baptized. It's pretty neat. I'll just talk to you in a few minutes about what happened in the early church in Acts. They were an exciting people. And, they just, when they got saved, they got baptized. It was amazing. We get baptized. So, one of the things we get, there's three things that I wanted to talk about why we get baptized also too. We get baptized also because Jesus commands it. He says in, I got to put this apple, I'll put this apple on the piano there. Then the pianist can take care of it. So we have in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says here, that's the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that is a neat promise. So we get baptized because Jesus commands it. And so the second reason is as a step of obedience in Matthew 3, 13 to 17, we see this passage here. Where are we at here? Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Jesus came to John. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River, to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it, saying, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. We do it because Jesus did it, and we follow his example, and we do what Jesus did. So we baptize for that reason also too. And, you know, the question here comes up, does baptism save us? No, it does not. It is an outward sign of something that's happened inward already in us. We have already gave our lives to the Lord, surrendered our lives over, and Christ has come in and forgave all our sin and give us new life. It's an outward sign of what's happened within already. It doesn't save us. And the only thing that makes us right with God by trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. He removed our sin. Sin cannot enter the presence of God. So God sent his Son to remove our sin to bring us back to God. And that's the significance of what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. They disobeyed God. They had a perfect relationship with God before, but the minute that disobedience came into the picture, sin came into the picture, and God is so holy that sin cannot dwell in his presence. So we had a problem. And who's going to fix that problem? It was God that fixed that problem. He said, he promised Adam and Eve way back in Genesis that he says, I'm sending someone that's going to fix this problem. And his name, we know now, is Jesus. And he went to the cross to die for our sin, take it away, so that we can come back to God. And that's an amazing truth to understand, that God loves us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that's the amazing part of becoming a Christian, that our sins are removed. And in Acts 8, 26 to 38, I'm going to share the story with you. Philip was he was an early disciple, and he was preaching in one place, and the Holy Spirit told him, go down this road and walk there and see what you find. And when Philip walked down the road, he found an Ethiopian eunuch riding in a carriage, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. So the Holy Spirit told Philip, go up there. And so he went up there, and Philip was listening to him reading in the book of Isaiah. And one question came to his mind, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I unless somebody tells me, teaches me what it's saying? And so Philip, he invited him up into the carriage and began to share the gospel with this Ethiopian. That man got saved. And they came to water on the side of the road somewhere. I don't know what it was, maybe a mud puddle or just a something. And he said, look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip said, sure. And they pulled over and they baptized him, and they were on their way. So the early Christians were exciting. They got saved. They were baptized immediately almost and came to the Lord. So that's another reason why we were baptized, because it is something that we do as Christians. We get baptized. So Peter in Acts, excuse me, Peter in Acts 2, 37 to 39, he was preaching to the group of people, and Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're coming to baptism. And this here passage on the front of your bulletins is like Allison picked that one out. And now Paul says, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. Acts 22:16. So this morning, as we think about these things, you know, I want to encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, to come forward and be baptized. I want to encourage you, if you haven't ever ask Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your heart, I want to encourage you to do that this morning too. If you want to pray about that after the service, we would be glad to do that with you to receive Christ.